Hello there. I'm glad you could make it. My name's Thurman, and it's good to meet you. Well, come on over and sit close to the fire. Pull up a stump, and I'm going to tell you a story.
As I said earlier, I had lots of diseases plus other troubles, one of which follows. Mother had been scalding chickens. For those of you who've never had the pleasure, I'll discuss scalding chickens later. She'd been doing it in a wash tub in the kitchen. Remember, this was the olden days when water was carried to the house, heated on the cook stove, and dumped in the wash tub. Anywho, someone was playing with me and made a grab. I backed up, and you guessed it, I sat down in the tub of scalding water. Old Doc Hall was called, and he smeared some evil-smelling ointment on my behind and took a big sheet of cotton and stuck it to the ointment. Mother's told me that she always thought he was crazy. He told them that as the cotton came loose to trim it off. Now, I would assume that a bale of cotton on your butt would preclude a diaper in the same area. I wonder if I wore a G-string. They say that as the cotton loosened and was trimmed, that the buttocks healed without a scar. Being unable to review that area, I must take their word for it. It's been said that I looked like a shaggy sheep at shearing time. My Uncle Howard, Aunt Olive, their daughter Norma, and son Jim were four of the people that lived with Grandma. Above the house was a shed in which baby chicks were kept. There was a kerosene heater in the building to keep them warm. Jim discovered that if you poured kerosene on the creek, which ran behind the building, and lit it, the fire would float down the creek. That was great fun for a while until my sweater got soaked and I caught on fire. Now, Jim was a living Huck Finn. The men had been blasting stumps with dynamite, and they hid two boxes of caps under the chicken house. Why there, I don't know. Jim had watched the blasting and saw the men hide the caps. While my sister Marilyn and Jim's sister Norma were gathering eggs, Jim pounded the box of caps almost flat, trying to get it open. If they had gone off, there had been four less people to live with Grandma. He then found a box that was open, and holding the cap in his left hand, he stuck a lit match into the cap. He'd been called Stubbs for years. He's missing part of a thumb and either two or three fingers. He also has a lump in his cheek, which was a piece of the dynamite cap. He organized a daredevil club. The password was Transmigant if you can't do Wubam Danceality, courtesy of one of my aunts. We would swing from rafters and walk them too, I imagine. Jim was once locked in the house to keep him out of trouble. His mother was in there too. He went to the bathroom and crawled out the transom over the door and fell and busted his head. When Marilyn was about 2 years old, around 1937, we lived in a place called Evertsville, West Virginia. It was a coal mining town, and I remembered that they had a long cable which stretched from the top of the mountain at the mine to the place where the coal was dumped. Some type of bucket came down the cable with the coal. When they reached the end, the coal was dumped and they were pulled back to the mine. It was a little like a ski lift. We were living with Dad's sister, Lily, and her husband, Phil. Now, Phil worked a midnight shift and slept during the day. Marilyn would go into his room and tickle his feet. Somehow, Marilyn became of a feather, as she later became afraid of birds. Mother would put a feather under Phil's door and tell her it was a feather. It seemed that if you told her it was a tickle, she was not afraid of it. Weird girl. I remember the cable well and have an impression that there was a mine explosion while we were there. A couple of years later, Dad was badly hurt in a cave-in at Baldwin Mines. Baldwin Mines was at the end of the railroad track, about 14 miles from the nearest road. Dad worked in a deep mine. We lived in a company town, in a company house with a company store. That day, Dad was working with his brother, Endress. They heard the roof start to crack, and Dad yelled, "Run in, run," and gave him a shove. The roof came down and caught Dad just below the neck and covered him from there down. Uncle Endress came back and tried to lift the slate off of him, and they swore that he left his fingerprints in the slate from the pressure he exerted. Dad braced himself and pushed with his back while Uncle Endress lifted and tipped the piece of slate that would fill an average-sized room on its edge so that Dad could get out. They wanted to take him home on a stretcher, but he said no, it will scare Opal. She was pregnant with my sister Brianna, so he walked. Around 9 a.m., Dad kicked on the door and said, "All right, open up," as if to say, "Let's get it over with." Mother opened the door, and there he was with Uncle Endress. The sweat was running off of him, and his clothes were torn. She got him into the living room and onto the couch. She bathed him the best she could, and Uncle Endress helped. They started making preparations to take him off the mountain. The only way into or out of town was by rail. My sister and I had been playing under the house, and when we walked in, Dad was laying on his stomach on the couch, and his back looked like a piece of pounded beefsteak.
From the time he lay down to the time he tried to get up, he had gotten so stiff he couldn't move. The company had a van fixed up to run the tracks. They loaded him onto a stretcher and put him in the van and took him to Slaty Fork. There was no way to get him to Elkins to the hospital, so they hired a taxi. The doctor at Slaty Fork told them to get him a pint of whiskey and feed it to him to ease the pain. By the time he got to Elkins, he wasn't feeling much pain. Slaty Fork is around 40 miles from Elkins. When he got to the hospital, they walked in. They took him to X-ray, and Dr. Golden came in to see him. The doctor asked him if he could move his legs and his fingers and so forth, and he said, "Well, hell yes, I walked in here." The doctor said, "You couldn't have. You have a broken back and four broken ribs." Now, Dad was a little over 6 feet tall, weighed over 200 pounds, and had started out dropping spikes in a railroad when he was 15 years old, so he was tough. Doc Golden said that if Dad would listen to him, he would send him home a well man. If he didn't, he would probably never walk again. The doctor raised Dad's bed 12 inches in the middle and laid Dad across the hump. He was in the hospital for 36 days, and he lay over the hump for 34 of those days. When Dad's accident occurred, they arranged for us to be transported off the mountain. It was blue cold and snowing and blowing with snowdrifts all over. They put us in a little hand car, the kind that two men pump to make it go, and we started out in the dark. We hadn't gone very far, but we were already half frozen when we met a train coming up. In a case like that, the hand car stops and is carried off the tracks and lets the train pass. The men in the engine took pity on us and loaded us into a nice warm cab, and it felt like heaven. They told us what some things were for, then scared us to death because they said that if we so much as touched one of them, I have no idea what it was, it would cut our arm off. We sat all the way down the mountain with our hands in our laps and elbows pressed firmly to our sides. What those two men did was probably strictly against regulations, but to us they seemed like angels. From Slaty Fork we rode a bus which seemed like an interminable trip to all of us. Poor mother was pregnant and all three of us kids got sick. There was no workman's compensation or other benefits for Dad. I don't know if there was no union in the area or just that particular mine. Mother took in washing and ironing to keep us. My sister and I came up with a little wagon from somewhere, and she and I would pick up the dirty clothes and deliver them when Mother was finished. Dad spent a lot of time in a cast after he got out of the hospital. I remember that he had a flat stick, maybe a yardstick, that he used to scratch under the cast. The cast was from hips to shoulders. My brother Dick was born around 1938. When he was about 2 years old, Lloyd Howe would tell him, "If you let me bite your belly, I'll bring you some candy from town." Dick called him Uncle Buddy. One day Lloyd was walking down the drive and Dick ran out on the porch and wailed, "Uncle Buddy, you forgot to bite my belly." At the age of 5, I was sent to the white school. My teacher was Juanita Harris, and she objected to my being in school at such a young age. The first day of school, I talked out loud, and she hit the palm of my hand with a ruler. Mother told me that several weeks later I said, "Yes, sir, she hit me one whack." I guess when the whole story came out, the ship hit the sand. I was taken out of school that year because of bad nerves. The following year, same school, same teacher, I was given a smallpox vaccination. Apparently, I got a small dose of smallpox and was sick for several weeks, again out of school. Scalding chickens. You thought I'd forgotten, didn't you? As previously stated, enough water was carried to the house and heated on the cooking stove to fill a wash tub. Of course, wood had already been split and stacked in the wood box beside the stove. The water was heated until it was boiling hot. The tub was then set on the floor, and chickens, minus their heads, were dipped in the hot water and their feathers were pulled off. Paper bags were laid on the floor to hold the mess. Incidentally, preparations for Saturday night bath was about the same, except that the water wasn't quite as hot. By the time the last person got the tub, it was nearly cold. Chickens were then cleaned and cut up, and sometimes they were scorched by lighting newspaper and passing the chicken through the flames to remove the hairs which Mother called whiskers. In the summertime, all of the above was done on the back porch. As I may have stated earlier, Dad liked a nip or two. One day he walked to town to get Mother some yeast so she could bake bread. He was gone all day, and when he came back, he was drunk as a lord. But he had the yeast. Now, nickel cake yeast was about the size of a Milky Way. Mother was a slim 5'2", and you know Dad was over 6 feet. She grabbed the yeast and stuffed it in his mouth, paper and all. Dad started coughing like he was choking, and Mother grabbed a dipper of water out of the bucket and threw it at him. He wailed, "No damn woman is going to choke me to death on yeast and then drown me." Sometime in the early years, someone had read me the story of Alice in Wonderland. I was apparently impressed by Tweedledee and Tweedledum, because I told someone that I was Tweedledee and they were dumb. Needless to say, the name stuck. I was called Tweedledee and later just Tweedle. I still have some aunts who call me Tweedle on occasion. We had a cat named Kitty Puss. One day the cat was up on the table. I came by, took a swipe at it, and said, "Get down from there, pity cuss. You know darn well you don't live up there to roost." That's another story that's been handed down through the years. Well, that's it for this week again. Thank you for coming by. Next week I'm going to try to tell you about watching the radio. And a few other things. See you later.